This is Bloomberg Daybreak for this Thursday, July 26, 2018. Coming up this hour,
shares of Facebook plummet as the social network warns of slowing growth.
The U.S. and EU announce a deal to avoid a trade war.
European automakers surge as President Trump puts tariffs on hold.
And shares of Ford fall to cap a nightmare day of earnings for U.S. car companies.
Several House Republicans are pushing to impeach Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. Plus, President Trump is delaying a second summit with Russian leader Putin. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Yankees lost to Tampa Bay. The Mets beat San Diego and won the series. The Giants training camp underway. The Jets begin theirs today.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. Bloomberg Daybreak is being brought to you by Sector Spider ETFs. Why buy a single stock when you can invest in the entire sector? Visit SectorSPDRS.com or call 1-866-SECTOR-ETF.
Equities in Europe are gaining while a slump in tech stocks weighs on U.S. futures this morning at a 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are down 4 points this morning. Dow futures up 55. NASDAQ futures down 60. The DAX in Germany is up 1.3%. The CAC in Paris up 0.7%. FTSE 100 little changed. Nikkei 225 in Japan down 0.1%. Hang Seng in Hong Kong down 0.5%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.95%. Yield on the 2-year 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil little change, down 2 cents to $69.28 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3%, down $3.60 at $12.3740 an ounce. The euro, $1.1715, the yen, 110.79. John.
And we begin with Facebook. Shares are plunging, down more than 17% in early trading after earnings that missed estimates. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet reports.
Second quarter revenue and average daily visitors missed analyst projections. The company's user growth fell short of expectations in the same quarter that CEO Mark Zuckerberg testified for 10 hours before Congress. It also came as Europe implemented strict new data laws, which Facebook had warned could lead to fewer daily visitors in that region. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thank you. A quick bounce back for Facebook is not likely. The company's chief financial officer says revenue growth is set to decline again in the third and fourth quarters. Clive McDonald is an equity strategist at Standard Chartered.
The guidance going into the second half is pretty poor. The fallout from the European data regulations seems to be a lot more significant for Facebook. They're losing 1 million-plus daily active users in Europe at the moment. So I think that is really where the concern is. What impact that will have on ad revenue is likely to put downward pressure on the share price at the U.S. open today.
Facebook's market value fell as much as $150 billion in late trading.
And if that level holds today, it would be the largest one-day collapse in value ever for a U.S. company. Crawford El Pret is the chief research officer for IDC Research.
This company is entering a new chapter. And when you look at the growth that they were telegraphing, that growth is dropping, right? So their constant currency growth rate number was down to about 38%. They're telegraphing something in the mid-30s going forward. We haven't really seen this from Facebook. That's the big change here, is that they're entering a new lower growth chapter. And there are all kinds of ramifications for that.
For Facebook, financial stumbles have been rare. The last time it missed revenue estimates was the first quarter of 2015.
Our other top story this morning, developments on trade, with President Trump and European Commission Chair Jean-Claude Juncker reaching an agreement to avoid a trade war.
We agreed today, first of all, to work together towards zero tariffs, zero non-tariff barriers, and zero subsidies on non-auto industrial goods.
At their White House meeting, Jean-Claude Juncker stressed the need for both sides to focus on reducing tariffs.
We made a deal today because we agreed that no other tariffs would be introduced as long as we are in negotiations.
As part of the agreement, the EU plans to import more soybeans and liquefied natural gas from the U.S.
U.S. stocks jumped following that announcement from Mr. Trump and Juncker, but as Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hayes tells us, there's reason to temper optimism.
This is quite similar to what we saw happen with China, where there were sort of initial positive signs, and then those didn't really materialize. Both sides ended up kind of backing away. So I think it's important to kind of keep that in mind. But with that caveat, I would add that I think this is significantly more substantive progress than what we might have expected 24 hours ago.
Bloomberg's Kathleen Hunter. And for now, the threat of new tariffs from the White House on auto imports appears to be receding.
And that has shares of car companies in Europe surging this morning. Bloomberg's Sebastian Salek joins us live from London with the latest. Good morning, Sebastian.
Good morning, Karen and John. Well, you might say that the auto sector is racing ahead. Stocks up by 2%, the best performing sector on the Stoxx 600. And that's despite weak earnings from Daimler. Big names are top among the top gainers. They include Fiat Chrysler, which is up by 4.2%, Porsche gaining by 3.7%, and Volkswagen by 3.2%. We heard from Germany's VDA Auto Industry Association. They called the meeting a big step forward and good news for the industry and consumers on both sides of the Atlantic. But the trade debate isn't over. The EU Parliament still has to approve any agreement, and the White House could change its mind on auto tariffs. So this relief rally may not have long legs. Live in London, I'm Sebastian Salek, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Sebastian, thanks. It's a different story for car companies here in the U.S. Shares of Ford down about 2% in early trading after the company projected $11 billion in charges linked to a restructuring plan. General Motors and Fiat Chrysler stocks also slumped after earnings yesterday.
Qualcomm is scrapping its $44 billion bid for NXP Semiconductors after China failed to approve the deal before a midnight deadline. Qualcomm will pay NXP a $2 billion breakup fee and buy back as much as $30 billion in stock. Shares of Qualcomm are up more than 4% in early trading.
And a quick look at some of the stocks out of Europe moving on earnings. Airbus, British American Tobacco, Nestle, AstraZeneca, and Total all gaining after reporting results. Shares of falling after earnings include Nokia, AB InBev, and Royal Dutch Shell. S&P futures down 4 points. The Dow futures up 40. NASDAQ futures down 60 points. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. And it's now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. President Donald Trump will delay a second summit with Russian leader Vladimir Putin until next year. National Security Advisor John Bolton cited Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian interference in the 2016 presidential election in a statement announcing the delay. Bolton says the president believes that the next bilateral meeting with President Putin should take place, quote, after the Russia witch hunt is over. It looks like the rift between conservative Republican members of Congress and the Department of Justice has gotten wider. Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
A group of 11 legislators has filed articles of impeachment against Deputy U.S. Attorney General Rod Rosenstein. They say this is a result of almost 9 months of unsuccessful attempts to force the Department of Justice to comply with oversight requests. Bloomberg's Billy Howe says whether it will ever come for vote is another question.
Now, our interviews with other House Republicans say that close to the election, the congressional elections in November, there's really no appetite for even Republicans to vote for this beyond this small cadre of House conservatives.
In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Republican Representatives Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan are leading the impeachment resolution. An explosive device was detonated near a public area at the U.S. Embassy in Beijing. A U.S. Embassy spokesperson says other than the bomber, there were no injuries. British officials are still considering allowing the EU to impose its market regulations on Northern Ireland after Brexit, while the rest of the UK breaks away. Bloomberg's Alex Morales has more from London.
A person familiar with the matter told Bloomberg the plan would come into force as a backstop if other options fail, in order to guarantee that there won't be a hard border with Ireland. The plan, which first surfaced in June, remains on the table, even though it has the potential to alienate Prime Minister Theresa May's political allies, the Democratic Unionist Party. The 10 lawmakers from Northern Ireland's DUP prop up May's Conservatives in the House of Commons, and without their votes, she would struggle to pass legislation. In London, Alex Morales, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Global news 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. 6:10 of Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. And here's John Stashower.
John, Yankees happy to be out of Tampa, a place they usually enjoy going to. They spend the spring there, the Rays of a team payroll, a fraction of the Yanks, and yet over two trips this season, the Yanks have gone 1-5. Happy they don't return there until late September. The Rays won yesterday 3-2. Yanks had the tying and go-ahead runs on in the ninth inning, but Brett Gardner struck out on a 3-2 pitch that would have been ball four, would have been bases loaded for Aaron Judge. They're back home tonight for lowly Kansas City, start of a four-game series. The Red Sox started their game with Baltimore and led 5-0, but they couldn't finish due to rain, so they're going to start over from scratch next month. Three Red Sox home runs hit last night get wiped away. Yanks are 5.5 games behind. The Red Sox have added starting pitcher Nathan Eovaldi, whose Yankee career ended with Tommy John surgery. Boston acquired him from the Rays. The Mets won a series, first time since May, 6-4 over San Diego, so actual back-to-back victories. First career win for Corey Oswalt. Yoenis Cespedes indeed having surgery on his heels. He'll be out for the rest of this season and most, if not all, of next year. After a nightmare 3-13 season, the Giants hopeful this year will be better. One reason, rookie running back Saquon Barkley, second pick of the draft, he has already impressed Eli Manning.
He's done a good job coming in, studying the playbook, knowing his stuff, having questions, you know, just being dialed into everything that he's supposed to be doing. So I've been impressed in that situation. Obviously, his on-the-field stuff is impressive. He's, you know, make plays and you know, no pads on or anything yet. But just catching the football, being an athlete, you know, excited to get the pads on and see what he can do.
Manning speaking on opening day of training camp. The Jets begin camp today with the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. And horse racing news. The Triple Crown winner Justify is retiring. He suffered from inflammation in his left front ankle. Justify earned almost $4 million on the track, but that's horse feed. He's set to make much more. His breeding rights reportedly have been sold for more than $70 million. And you're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And just ahead, we'll take a look at Facebook shares and the plunge there with Paul Sweeney, the director of North American Research at Bloomberg Intelligence. This is Daybreak.
Daybreak continues.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, 617 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Hannah George at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Hannah.
Good morning, Karen. Facebook blindsided analysts who spent the earnings call seeking details on how its financial future changed so dramatically. Growth is slowing and won't perk up this year. Mario Draghi holds court today, with investors focusing on the rate path. Money market pricing suggests no deposit rate increase until at least December of 2019. Qualcomm is dropping its $44 billion bid for NXP semiconductors. Chinese regulators failed to approve the deal before a midnight deadline. And Europe is pledging to buy more American soybeans and liquefied natural gas as part of a deal with the US to avert a trade war. Both sides agreed to halt future tariffs while negotiations continue. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Hannah, thank you. And Facebook shares are down about more than 18% in early trading. Checking Qualcomm, it's up 5.2%, and NXP Semiconductors down 10%. S&P futures are down 5 points this morning. Dow futures up 33. NASDAQ futures down about 64. The DAX in Germany is up 1.3%. 10-year Treasury up 4/32, yield 2.95%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil, little change at $69.29 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.3%, down $3.70 at $12.37.30 an ounce. The euro, $1.1714. The yen, 110.80. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, several House conservatives are pushing for impeaching Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein on grounds that demands for documents about sensitive investigations have been ignored. Rosenstein oversees Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation of Russian election meddling and possible ties to the Trump campaign. The Trump administration raced against a court-imposed deadline today to reunite families who were forcibly separated at the U.S.-Mexico border. Authorities have identified more than 2,500 children, 5 and older,
who may be covered by the order. In baseball, the Yankees lost. The Mets won. The Red Sox-Orioles game postponed. The Nationals and A's were winners. The Giants lost. Global News, 24 hours a day. On air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
Bloomberg Intelligence. Valuable industry data and analysis from independent experts, giving trading and investment professionals insight into where crucial industries stand today and where they may be heading next.
6:20 on Wall Street, a big unlike for Facebook. As Karen mentioned, shares in the pre-market down to 18% after that shocking earnings report. Joining us now to walk us through it, Paul Sweeney, Director of North American Research for Bloomberg Intelligence. I want to hear about the drama from the earnings call from Facebook last night.
Yeah, it was, it started off as a relatively straightforward call with commentary from Mark Zuckerberg and Sheryl Sandberg, the COO, about the pace of the business. And then the CFO came on to really talk about the business and talk about future trends. And I think a couple of bombshells were dropped. Number one, on the revenue side, talked about growth rates slowing over the next several quarters. So this wasn't just a one-quarter revenue miss in the second quarter. Talking about revenue growth slowing over the next couple of quarters for a couple of reasons, one of which is some of their newer advertising products not monetizing as quickly as they had hoped. And number two, some of the privacy protections that have been enacted in Europe is impacting their users over there and then their advertising trends. So that was issue number one. Issue number two was rising cost. They talked about costs really accelerating in the second half of the year and really over the next couple of years as well. So the net is they put out some operating profit margin guidance that was well below where the street was looking. Specifically, they're talking about operating margins over the next couple of years trending down to the mid-30% range, and the street consensus was in the low to mid-40% range. So that's a big reset to profit outlook that I think that obviously the street was not looking for. And as those comments were made during the call after hours, you could see the stock and after market trading literally tick down, minute by minute by minute during his commentary.
Did you get a sense that was maybe overdone, the reaction by investors?
We'll see. I think, there's definitely a question amongst investors whether this is kind of a short-term blip or is it more of a longer-term issue with the fundamental business model there. I think our take is the expenses are hard. Expenses are, in fact, going up. And that is something that I think everybody has to model for this company. The question really is on the revenue side. Is this a material change in the revenue outlook for the business? We tend not to think so. We still think when you take a look at the long-term growth in digital advertising, it still remains very robust at, kind of mid-teens, high-teens growth rate across the board globally. Really when you talk about that, the beneficiaries of that are Facebook and Google. So we still think the revenue outlook for Facebook remains very strong. However, certainly there are some expenses that are going to be ramping up significantly. So I think there's certainly a reset in the profit outlook for this company for the next several years.
This will point into foreign exchange concerns too, right?
Yeah. So obviously,
is that a big deal?
It's a little bit on the revenue front. They called that out a little bit, and that's something that as a global company they have to deal with. That's something that typically the market will discount over time. I think what's more the concern here is, are some of these privacy controls that are being put in Europe, are they impacting the growth?
But, we knew about that. Why is that such a surprise?
Yeah, I think it's, what the market was thinking was, it's not going to be that big of a deal. We know that there's a heightened view on privacy, and now people are having to elect in or opt into advertising. I think the belief at the time initially was that it's not going to be that big of a deal to their business, but they disclosed last night that it is probably impacting their revenue outlook. So again, there's a reset there on investor expectations on the revenue side.
The issues. How many are company specific? How many are overarching for the entire tech industry? Because this is dragging other tech stocks down. We've got about 30 seconds.
Yeah, so the FANG stocks are going to be pulling back. I think, any of these names that are consumer-facing internet media names, they're certainly going to take a little bit of a hit here. I think, but longer term, I think the overall long-term growth in digital advertising remains very strong simply because that's where consumers are going and advertisers simply follow the audience.
Facebook shares in the pre-market 18% lower. Paul Sweeney from Bloomberg Intelligence providing unique real-time research and context on industries and all the market and government factors that impact business. Terminal customers, you can access this function at BI Go. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Daybreak brought to you by National Realty, developers of prime New York, Hoboken, Philadelphia, and Delray Beach real estate. Up to 20% return properties. See them at nria.net.
Broadcasting live to New York, Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 99.1. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We're following the sell-off in Facebook shares. This stock is down almost 19% following disappointing earnings. Scott Kessler is Deputy Global Director at CFRA and downgraded Facebook from buy to hold about a month ago.
The stock wasn't fully reflecting some of the risks, and there are a number of risks, but I would point to the core platform being mature and really not being a growth vehicle anymore.
Facebook is weighing on other tech heavyweights. NASDAQ futures are down almost 1%, while Twitter and Snap are down more than 3%. Alphabet lower by 1.8%.
And we'll get another update on the tech sector today with earnings from Amazon, Intel, and more than 70 other companies in the S&P 500.
Shares of Ford are moving lower. The second largest U.S. automaker joined GM and Fiat Chrysler in lowering forecasts for 2018.
Qualcomm shares up more than 5%. The company is scrapping its $44 billion bid for NXP Semiconductors after China failed to approve the deal before a final deadline. Qualcomm also plans to buy back as much as $30 billion in stock.
In just over 2 hours from now, the European Central Bank makes a policy decision. We get more from Bloomberg's Paul Gordon in Frankfurt.
The ECB took most of the big decisions at its June meeting, meaning the July session could be relatively quiet, but there's still plenty for President Mario Draghi to be quizzed about in his press conference. That includes the outlook for the economy amid trade conflicts that remain a concern, despite concessions by the US and EU on Wednesday. And there's its reinvestment strategy under quantitative easing, which could have implications for the bond market once net asset purchases end this year. In Frankfurt, Paul Gordon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
And that's out at 7:45 Eastern. John.
And it is now 6:32 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Volatility Index report. The VIX fell yesterday for the fourth straight session to close at 12:29. Separately, in today's extended morning trading, the VIX right now is down about 1% at 12:18. And that is this morning's Bloomberg Volatility Index report. Karen.
S&P futures are down 6 points this morning. Dow futures up 25. NASDAQ futures down almost 67. The DAX in Germany is higher, up 1.2%. 10-year Treasury up 3/32, yield 2.96%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.66%. NYMEX crude oil down about 0.1% now, down 6 cents to $69.25 a barrel. And COMEX gold lower, down 0.3%. Straight ahead, the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
It's 6:33 on Wall Street. Time now for news from around the world. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Good morning, John. It looks like a trade war has been averted for now. Bloomberg's Nathan Hager reports the leaders of the United States and the European Union have cut a deal on trade.
I had the intention to make a deal today. And we made a deal.
European Commission President Jean-Claude Juncker, after emerging from a two-hour closed-door White House meeting with an agreement to work toward boosting U.S. soybean and liquefied natural gas imports and to hold off on further tariffs while negotiations continue. President Trump says both sides want to aim for zero tariffs.
This was a very big day for free and fair trade.
Neither leader took questions after their joint appearance at the White House Rose Garden. In Washington, I'm Nathan Hager, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Several House conservatives called for impeaching Deputy Attorney General Ron Rosenstein on grounds that demands for documents about sensitive investigations have been ignored. The effort is led by Republicans Mark Meadows and Jim Jordan. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo fiercely defended the Trump administration's foreign policy on Capitol Hill yesterday, facing tough questions from Republican and Democratic senators about North Korea, Russia, Iran, and more. Listen to this feisty exchange between Pompeo and Democrat Bob Menendez, ranking member on the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, about President Trump's two-hour private meeting with Russian President Putin in Helsinki.
Senator, I understand the game that you're playing.
No, no, you know, Mr. Secretary,
with all
due respect, yeah, I don't appreciate you characterizing my questions. My questions is to get to the truth. We don't know what the truth is.
Meanwhile, the White House says President Trump will delay a second summit with Putin until next year. Yosemite National Park has been closed as firefighters battle the Ferguson wildfire that has threatened the park's forest. Smoke from the blaze has obscured many views in the park. Park spokesman Scott Gedeman says Yosemite Valley will be closed at least until Sunday.
Based upon that poor air quality and the weather forecast that's saying it will persist, we decided to close Yosemite Valley.
Meanwhile, in Southern California, a new fire is burning in the mountains east of Los Angeles. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street, time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update is John Stashower.
John, the Yankees have come home wondering about a power outage. The team with the second most home runs in the majors just went three straight games at Tampa Bay without a single homer. They lost yesterday 3-2. They start a four-game series with Kansas City tonight. Gleyber Torres is back. He's come off the disabled list, but Gary Sanchez is on the DL with a recurrence of that groin injury in the Yanks. Are saying that Sanchez may not play until September. Mets general manager John Rico asked, when will next see Yoenis Cespedes?
The time frame for recovery, it's a bit speculative at this point because until they do the surgery, we won't know for sure. The window right now we've been given is 8 to 10 months. It's possible it could be longer than that. It probably won't be shorter than that. And again, we'll know more once the surgery has occurred and the doctors know exactly the extent of the calcification.
Cespedes headed for surgery on his heels. He is the highest paid outfielder in baseball, and he may not play again until 2020. Mets are in Pittsburgh tonight. Pirates just saw their 11-game winning streak come to an end. Mets have won two in a row. That doesn't happen often. They beat San Diego 6-4. Long two-run homer for Jose Bautista. Corey Oswalt's first Major League win. Mets win a series for the first time since mid-May. 17 straight series they had failed to win. Odell Beckham without a new contract, but on hand for the start of Giants training camp, the first for new coach Pat Shurmur. The Jets open up camp today. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
All right, thanks, John. 6:37 on Wall Street. The U.S. Justice Department is waiting to hear about its appeal of the AT&T Time Warner merger. And antitrust attorneys say other companies looking to strike deals will be watching closely. Nancy Lyons reports from the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington Newsroom.
A decision is not expected until next year, but Bloomberg Law's Victoria Graham says with scant legal precedent, the ruling could impact other vertical mergers. Those are combinations of non-rival companies.
We're looking at CVS, Aetna, Cigna, Express Scripts. And these could actually be impacted by this AT&T Time Warner expedited appeal decision.
The Justice Department says the AT&T Time Warner merger could stifle competition and lead to higher prices for consumers. In Washington, Nancy Lyons, Bloomberg Radio.
Thanks, Nancy. It is now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is from the Bloomberg View, the editorial page of Bloomberg Opinion.
2 million Gazans are trapped in the cycle of misery and violence. A lion's share of the responsibility rests with the militant group Hamas, which controls Gaza and which the outside world rightly seeks to isolate. Yet this presents a tragic dilemma, for no deliverance seems possible so long as the outside world focuses on punishing Hamas. A better way to undermine support for the group would be to improve the well-being of ordinary Gazans. There are good ways to address the territory's dire economic situation. Plenty of ideas exist for safely processing imports and exports. Simply expanding Gaza's fishing zone would immediately benefit tens of thousands of families. Money from the U.S., Europe, and the Gulf is surely needed, but more important is a shift in strategy. Promoting jobs and growth for young Gazans could diminish the appeal of extremism. At the very least, that's a proposition worth testing. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg View editorial board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion.
or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been the Bloomberg View.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. Time now for the Bloomberg Small Business Report. The House Ways and Means Chairman, Republican Kevin Brady, has released an outline of the next phase of tax cuts. The outline's main points are making the 2017 tax law small business and individual tax cuts permanent, and also boosting innovation by helping brand new businesses write off more of their initial startup costs. But the outline does steer clear of correcting technical mistakes from last year's tax overhaul. The Tax Reform 2.0 measure was seen as a possible vehicle for technical fixes that would address the errors in the 2017 bill. Retailers and restaurants in particular, they've been urging Congress to correct a mistake that prevents them from writing off costs of renovations right away. Brady is set to move forward with a package in September with a committee vote. The tax measures are seen by many as a political tool to buoy the fortunes of Republican House members in the midterm elections. However, some elements could find Senate support and have better prospects in Congress. And that is today's Bloomberg Small Business Report. This on a day when futures are mixed. The S&P futures down 5 points. The Dow futures up 31 points. The NASDAQ E-mini futures down 64 points. Most active in the pre-market, Facebook shares down 18%. NXP Semiconductor shares, they're down 8.5%. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. Check out at TikTok by Bloomberg, the first and only global news network built for Twitter. 24/7 news from Bloomberg's 2,700 journalists and analysts across 120 countries, streaming live on Twitter.
Global news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And it is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures this morning, NASDAQ futures tumbling. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Good morning, Bill.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are trading mixed right now, with Dow futures higher by 28 points. S&Ps are down 6. And like you said, NASDAQ futures are plunging by 65 points after earnings from Facebook. The U.S. 10-year yield at 2.96%. Gold is down 3. And European markets are trading higher, led by 1.3% gains in Germany. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, wholesale inventories, initial jobless claims, and durable goods orders. And at 11 o'clock, the Kansas City Fed. After the bell last night, Facebook revenue missed estimates. Shares are down 19% in the pre-market. Visa EPS beat the highest estimates. Qualcomm scrapped the NXPI deal, is also buying back $30 billion in stock. And PayPal's outlook disappointed. Shares are down 3% in the pre-market. Regarding some of the earnings this morning, Air Products and Allergan boosted their forecasts. And look for Altria and Bristol-Myers to report around 7 a.m., Celgene 7:30, and McDonald's around 8 a.m. Wrapping things up, Facebook was downgraded at UBS and Raymond James and defended over at Susquehanna. Live from the First Break News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
All right, thanks, Bill. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, a group of 11 House conservatives introduced articles of impeachment against Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who oversees Special Counsel Robert Mueller's investigation into Russian election interference. House Republicans have criticized Rosenstein for not being responsive enough, as they have requested documents related to the Russia investigation. Chinese police say an explosion outside the U.S. Embassy in Beijing was caused by a small homemade device today, set off by a 26-year-old man who hurt only himself. In baseball, the Yankees lost, the Mets won, the Red Sox-Orioles game was postponed. The Nationals and A's were winners. The Giants lost. Finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg Terminal, guess who is 75 years old today? Happy birthday to Rolling Stones frontman Sir Mick Jagger, who is still going strong. Jagger, back in his younger days, was studying at the London School of Economics, but was sidetracked because of his passion for the blues. And then he began writing songs with Keith Richards. The English rock band performed in London for the first time in 1962. And, John, They've been going strong ever since.
And Keith Richards is 74. How that's possible, I have no idea.
No, he's 75. And for that matter, he's a great-grandfather.
Mick has 8 kids. Did
yes.
you know that?
With 5 different women. I'll leave it there.
Sounds like you.
Yeah. Global News 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. Oh, man. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
So many similarities there between you and the Rolling Stones.
John, you can't say stuff like that.
I just did. 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to get serious and check on what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump and European Commission Chief Jean-Claude Juncker reaching an agreement to try to avoid a trade war. Republican lawmakers pushing for the impeachment of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein and a ruling that Mr. Trump must face a lawsuit over profits from his downtown D.C. hotel. Here to break this all down for us, Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. Kathleen, save us. Let's start with trade. What did we learn from the meeting yesterday between Juncker and President Trump?
Somewhat surprisingly, it sounds like there was a fairly significant breakthrough in the meeting. If you went by Trump's fairly bellicose tweets in the sort of days and hours leading up to the meeting, I think that one might be surprised to see that happening. But we've seen this kind of time and again where it's Trump basically talks kind of very tough heading into a meeting and then is able to strike a deal. And maybe when a deal was in the offing all along, but, you know, it behooved him to make it sound like it was less likely than it possibly was. So now what we have is basically a deal. De-escalation of tensions between the U.S. and the EU on trade, and particularly at a time when the U.S. was looking to move ahead with auto tariffs, that's quite significant.
Yeah, but what specifically did they come to agreement on?
So there's going to be an increase. They basically agreed to not have any new tariffs on goods on either side. And the EU has agreed to increase imports of U.S. Liquefied natural gas and U.S. soybeans. So those are kind of some of the big ticket items that they agreed to.
Okay. With the LNG, I'm not so sure that's anything new. I mean, they've been actually been building the terminals over there in Europe. But let's move on to the Russia probe, the gift that keeps giving, still looming in the White House and on Capitol Hill. Now 11 House conservatives filing articles of impeachment against the Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, who's overseeing the investigation. Does this have any legs to it?
The short answer is probably not. They're about to head home for their August recess in a little bit here, both the House and the Senate. And I think that that's not coincidental. I think this timing has to do with that. I think that both because this gives them something to go home and talk about as they talk about the Russia probe. You know, it's a way of sort of vilifying Rosenstein and doubling down on Trump's argument that this is all just a witch hunt against the White House and that potentially, you know, Russia didn't necessarily do anything wrong, or certainly that the Trump campaign wasn't involved. It doesn't sound like there's going to be a lot of an opportunity for the Congress to really act on this when they get back from the August recess in September. They're going to have to fund the government. They're going to be about 60 days out from the midterms. And getting into a contentious fight over impeaching the number two person at the Justice Department doesn't seem to be a fight that Republicans would be smart to want to take on.
Okay, another legal matter involving the president. Mr. Trump has to face a lawsuit that accuses him of improperly profiting from his hotel in Washington. Remind us the history of this case.
Yeah, so basically he's got a very posh hotel, and there's been some questions raised by the state of Maryland and the District of Columbia about whether or not he's improperly profiting from that while in office. There's federal law against the president essentially using his assets to kind of enrich himself, use his office to enrich himself while he's in office and so while he's serving as president. And so I think that's kind of the issue that's in play here. And Trump has been working very hard to get this lawsuit dismissed. And what happened most recently is that for the second time, his effort to get this lawsuit dismissed has been thrown out. And so it looks as though the lawsuit is going to move forward. And that may, not just from a legal level with Trump, from a political standpoint, if the lawsuit does move forward, that could be interesting because Trump has very closely guarded his personal financial information. And so this lawsuit could be a way to kind of peel back the curtain and get some sense of, you know, where Trump is making his money while he's in office, you know, whether it's from foreign governments, whether it's from, you know, interest groups, different folks that are looking to stay at that hotel. I think that's kind of the interesting political question here.
Thanks very much. We appreciate it. Bloomberg Washington reporter Kathleen Hunter. You can read more about these stories on Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg Terminal. A reminder, you can follow all the latest on Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 at 105.7 FM HD2. It is now 6:55 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
I'm Jonathan Bernstein, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Lordy, there are tapes. I'm talking about the latest presidential sex scandal involving hush money to Karen McDougal. Not the previous presidential sex scandal, the one about Trump's payoffs to Stormy Daniels to keep her quiet. Both are separate from the women, some 15 of them, who have lodged accusations of sexual misconduct against Trump. All of this makes it difficult to focus on the New York lawsuit alleging Trump ran a fraudulent charitable foundation. Not to be confused with the Trump University fraud, which cost him a $25 million settlement last year. Then there's the special prosecutor investigating Trump and his campaign for working with Russians, interfering in the U.S. election, and covering it up. Trump is also almost certainly violating constitutional clauses forbidding domestic and foreign emoluments. A lawsuit on that one made progress Wednesday in the courts. At any rate, a new poll found half the nation says they're embarrassed to have Trump as president, compared with a whopping 27% who say they're proud. I'm Jonathan Bernstein. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. It has been a busy couple of days for earnings. We continue to watch Facebook as it tumbles in early trading as revenue and user growth missed analyst estimates. Facebook shares, they are currently down more than 19% in early trading, and we will continue to watch those throughout the day. We have been getting earnings, more earnings this morning. We heard from Allergan boosting its full-year adjusted profit forecast. Lazard reported second-quarter profit that beat analyst estimates, and Raytheon's second-quarter results also beat analyst estimates. And earlier we heard Hindalco Industries agreed to acquire U.S. aluminum producer Alaris for about $2.6 billion. Futures this morning, again, NASDAQ futures are lower. They're being dragged down by Facebook this morning. They're down about 64 points. That's about 0.9%. S&P futures are down 6. Dow futures higher, up 26 points. 10-year Treasury up 3/32. The yield 2.96%. The yield on the 2-year 2.66%. And NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1%. And Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow coming up on Bloomberg Radio. For our listeners in Washington, D.C., Bloomberg Daybreak continues. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.